With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you that's listening to this podcast right now. It's Battle. And real quick, I do want to say thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And we've teamed up with our sponsors, Manscaped, for a cool contest. You know, over there on our Twitter, if you do not follow us, please go hit that follow button. Our username on Twitter, BattlegroundIHR. You can win a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs. You hear us talk about them all the time on the show, how comfortable they are. And actually, I'm wearing a pair right now. And I know I say that all the time, but I have a drawer full of Manscaped boxer briefs because they're amazing and I wouldn't wear anything else. So do yourself a favor. Go enter the contest right now. It will end on Saturday. So BattlegroundIHR, that is our username on Twitter. You can go get entered in to win those boxer briefs from Manscaped. Also, go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code BATTLEGROUND. You're going to get 20% off plus free shipping. Yeah, it's that simple. Free shipping and 20% off your order. All you got to do is use that code BATTLEGROUND at manscaped.com. A lot of great stuff. We'll talk about that later in the show. But it is time to get into the podcast today. We do have the finalists in the ROH Pure Tournament. Tracy Williams joins us on the show. We talked to Tracy about what he's looking forward to at this match because a lot of you may know that when he broke into Ring of Honor, his first match, he lost to Gresham. Now what's going to happen when he's facing John Gresham again for the ROH Pure title? Well, he talks about that. He also remembers the legend, Tracy Smothers, who passed away yesterday, which, man, it still hurts. And going to several matches, watching Tracy at the fairgrounds, we truly lost an icon. And we talked to Tracy about that. We get his thoughts on Tracy Smothers. We do a whole lot of stuff on the show today. It's great. And by the way, you can actually watch the interview. We filmed this interview. And if you want to check that out, we have a link tweeted out, BattlegroundIHR. Or you can go tap that link in the bio at Battleground Podcast on Instagram. And, of course, down in the description, there's a link as well. So, anyways, are you ready to do this? Because I am. I'm done talking for this intro. And I'm going to let the theme song play, and we'll talk to Tracy on the other side.
Battleground! You didn't know?
You've entered the battleground.
Oh, yeah!
Live from the Parts Unknown Studios, this is the Battleground Podcast.
Battleground! The Battleground!
Your place for all things pro wrestling. From the independent scene to WWE, AEW, ROH, NWA, and Impact Wrestling.
That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
Hot topics, as well as interviews with some of the biggest names in the game. The Battleground Podcast starts now. Yes. Here are your hosts.
Yes.
Welcome to the Battleground.
Oh, it's true.
Battle and Eli.
Yes. Woo.
Welcome to another episode of the Battleground Podcast. We have a special show for you today. We've got somebody who is going to get their hand raised, because I'm calling it right now. They're going to get their hand raised at the ROH Pure Tournament on Monday night. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern. But real quick, before we do get into the show, we did get some sad news that the Southern boy that we all love, Southern Wrestling own Tracy Smothers, has passed away today. And our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. And man, such a legend in the South and a pioneer for Southern wrestling. And our condolences go out to Tracy Smothers and his family and friends in the wrestling community. All mourns Tracy Smothers. But yeah, we just want to take a quick second and say that. And we're going to get into the show now. So let me bring in my tag team partner, Eli.
Hello.
There he is, Eli.
I do have a little quick Tracy Smothers quip. So when he was in WCW, he was in the Southern Boys, and he came out. They were kind of wearing like Civil War, you know, the jacket and the hat and everything. So, I mean, I loved them. They were incredible. And I went out to the flea market in Jackson, Tennessee. Friendly Frank's. That's it. Yeah, that's the name of the flea market. They have it the first weekend of every month. Anyways, I bought a Rebel flag. And I hung it on my wall. And I was like, yes. And that's right around the time we started studying the Civil War. It promptly came down. But for a short time, I did own a Rebel flag, not because of any. It was literally because of wrestling. I was like, these guys are incredible. High flyers and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, sad day. If you go on Twitter, I mean, I was just reading a thing Lance Storm wrote about it, about him. Hurricane Helms, the FTR. I mean, just if you don't see how, you know, respected and loved he was, I mean, just get on social media. Big loss today.
Yeah, very big loss. But somebody who is not going to take a loss, who has been,
I thought you were going to say someone who's not dead. we got a live one over here.
Tracy Williams joins us on the show. Man. Did you really think that I was going to say somebody who's not died yet?
I mean, it's Halloween.
I kind of thought it was coming too. I don't know what kind of show this was, but yeah, I'll just pile on and say also, you know, my respect and sadness towards the loss of Tracy Smothers. He was always super supportive and positive and really like energetic whenever I was lucky enough to be on shows with him. When he was, you know, still gracing the independence with his presence, that probably would have been like 7 years ago or something like that. I know he's had a rough time for a while with health, but even right before that, he was, you know, on the indies, energetic as hell, helping everybody out. I had a couple matches with him too in AIW in Ohio, where we kind of jokingly were fighting over the name Tracy. We were just kind of like, it wasn't like a storyline or anything, but he was just, you know, he's so good at talking crap in the ring that he would, you know, go back and forth with me, and then like, you know, I'd give him a big chop or something, be like, all right, you can have it, damn, take it. So yeah, rest in peace to Tracy Smothers for sure.
I've seen him wrestle numerous times, and it's I got in trouble because the first time I saw him wrestle, I was doing this and I didn't know what it meant at the time. That was kind of like the DX suck it chop. But anyways, so let's kind of talk about Tracy Williams. You got a big match coming up. The ROH Pure Tournament Finals is Monday, November 2nd. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern. You and a guy that, well, you have a lot of history with, Jonathan Gresham, for the ROH Pure title. Let's talk about the big match, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's such a big point in my career because the Pure Championship is fresh back on the scene, and it's the kind of thing that wrestlers like me and like John have been wishing for a long time and pushing for a long time. And, you know, it's given guys like us this trophy to shoot for, this like shining light to reach for, brass ring, whatever you want to call it. It's like now there's something like that for pure wrestlers, for people who thrive in a one-on-one pro wrestling environment, when you strip away all the nonsense and focus on what we really came to do, which is wrestle. So yeah, it's huge, and I'm not taking it lightly. I know John's not either. And like you said, John and I have a lot of history, so it's really cool to be on that platform with somebody that you know so well and who you've had matches with in all sorts of environments. Like John and I have wrestled at Beyond Wrestling on like New Year's Eve at like 11:50 p.m., like right before the ball drops or whatever, and all sorts of like different indie environments. And so even though it is this big stage and this big match, it's like it almost feels comfortable and natural because we, you know, we're here together. So it's really cool, and it's cool to face off with like a rival like that on a stage like that.
Yeah. I'm just surprised it's taken them so long to bring the title back.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But I don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of the struggle of pure wrestling, you know, is like there's this stigma that it doesn't draw or that it's not, you know, this exciting thing, but it's really like it's called pro wrestling. So
right. I mean, that's the core of what we love. I mean, yeah, it's kind of the foundation.
Yeah.
Not to plug his nickname, but
Tracy's gonna come to the screen and slap you here in a second.
Don't say that.
We kind of talk about history, and I want to talk about your history. Kind of tell us about your background. Like, have you always been a wrestling fan? And, you know, who are some of your favorites growing up and who did you train with?
Yeah, I've always been a wrestling fan since I was a little kid. My grandfather introduced me to wrestling, actually, where my brother and I would go up and visit him, and he lives in Canada. And, you know, there's not all that much to do up there, but he had this like vast library of wrestling tapes from like WCW, NWA, and WWF and all this stuff. And so every time we'd go up there, we'd just like burn through a bunch of these tapes, watch them and learn who everybody was and learn about stuff from, you know, before we were born all the way up to that current moment. And so from then on, I was hooked on it. And then, you know, I lived in New York City my whole life, so I'd get to go every now and then to like a house show at Madison Square Garden and stuff and like, you know, see it in person. And it's kind of the only thing that like I really latched onto in life. Like I had no aspirations to like go to college and like get this like special job. I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't have drive for that kind of stuff, but like I loved wrestling and I had a drive for it. So I'm really lucky to be doing it. Because, you know, I think wrestling is one of those things that just like, it either bites you or it doesn't. And like when it bites you, like it doesn't really let go. You just like, you just kind of love it forever. So to get to sort of dedicate my life to it is super special. I love it.
Man. And it's, you know, wrestling, everybody has that story of like watching wrestling, and everybody is from up north. It's always been the Madison Square Garden stories. And here for me in Nashville, it's the fairgrounds, the historic fairgrounds where everything has happened. And it's kind of a cool moment to go back and think about your very first wrestling match that you ever saw, like the big ones when they came into town. So who did you train with when you got started in wrestling?
I trained at the Chikara Wrestle Factory in 2008, where the head trainers at the time were Mike Quackenbush and Claudio Castagnoli, Cesaro, as he's known now. And so I was super lucky for that. It was in Philadelphia. And like I said, I lived in New York. So I knew I wanted to train there because those guys' style was just like unmatched. And you could see it in the people that they trained, that like everybody that worked with them had such a dedication to doing everything right. And having like a wide range of different like styles that they could do. So that really appealed to me. And so I went to a Chikara show on, I took the Chinatown bus to Philly. And I went to a show at the arena, which was cool. You know, it's my first time at the ECW arena too. Like you were saying, one of those like things you've seen all your life and then all of a sudden you're there.
Right.
And, it being there made me realize like how close it was. And it seemed like this far off land that like you couldn't go to. It's just like, oh, that's where ECW happens. That's Philly. It's far away because I don't know, in New York, sometimes you get stuck there. Happens to a lot of people, but I found the Chinatown bus, made it to Philly. And I realized this is easy. I could do this every week. You know, the bus is cheap. They have a school here. I can do it. And so I signed up and I joined wrestling school. It's like running away to join the circus. And so I would go every week to Philly, walk in with my little bag into the back of the ECW arena and get in a wrestling ring, you know, for the first time in my life, and fell in love with it. And yeah, really lucky to have that training too, because I think it set me up to be in a position like this in like a pure tournament, because they were so focused on doing everything right and nailing all the techniques, you know, so it helped.
So speaking of that organization, it kind of ended up being like a who's who of pro wrestling. I mean, everyone from CM Punk to Daniel Bryan to the Young Bucks and Briscoes, who are obviously in Ring of Honor with you. Were there any standout matches you had there? Just like, holy crap, I can't believe this is happening. Or like any that you thought like never would happen, that you're like, I can't believe I'm at the like right place, right time kind of a deal.
I mean, the right place, right time thing was really like I was saying about the training. Like, I think I was so lucky to be able to work so closely with those people in such like a tight knit environment, because mm-hmm. like you said, it's like a lot of people that pass through there just blow up and go on to be these like, you know, untouchable people in wrestling who like you don't get to as a young rookie get in the ring with and learn from, you know, it's just a natural separation. And so I was really lucky to be able to learn from guys like that, specifically Cesaro, especially with, you know, where I've taken my style now and the things that are like inspiring me now. Really, really lucky, because that's hard to come across now, you know, and you don't necessarily know when you're getting it, because that person hasn't gotten there yet. But I think everybody at that time was looking at him and knew that, okay, this is like, we're lucky to have him here now in this little bubble and get to work with him now before he becomes a supernova, you know?
Right. And it's so crazy how, you know, he's been a professional for decades now, and he's still considered, talking about Cesaro specifically, he's still considered underrated, you know, like it's almost like people just still don't understand how incredible he is, you know. It's just like, it's very, very strange. But
yeah, that underrated thing is tough. It's a tough thing to even to hear as the person that's being called underrated too, you know, because I've heard that before too, just in various places, and it doesn't feel great, you know. It's like it just kind of sheds a light on like whatever the situation is, and it also feels like, well, dang, like if you just said I was good, then maybe I wouldn't be considered underrated, you know.
Right.
I don't know, it's a weird way of thinking about it, but it's just kind of what how it lands on me sometimes. I see why people say it for sure, and it's like I can look at people and say, oh, they're underrated also, but like when you hear it, it's like if you just said they were really great, then maybe that would like, you know, create that opportunity for them to show the world that they're that great.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We all know 2020 is a little nuts, but that doesn't mean you should disregard your nuts no matter what size or shape they are. In fact, Manscaped is on a mission to take care of your manhood with their below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products. And great news, they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia. Hey guys, we've all been there, right? Cleaning up downstairs and something bad happens and then it's not that fun. Well, Manscaped is here to change that. They also just released the Crop Care Kit, which is a formulation bundle to give you A-plus balls and is the ultimate male hygiene hack. The Crop Care Kit includes the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. The name speaks for itself. Crop Reviver Ball Toner. That is a spray-on toner that will give your balls a little slice of heaven with their aloe vera and hazel extract. The Crop Cleanser Body Wash. That is a full body wash that you can also use on your hair. I use that every day after the gym. It is absolutely amazing. Smells good too, by the way. The Crop Mop Ball Wipes. You never know when an opportunity strikes, so you should always be prepared. Foot Duster. That is a foot deodorant, which is a free gift designed to keep the stankiest feet smelling fresh. Let's not forget about it's the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and body. I'm talking about the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents. We've all been there, guys. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, the waterproof technology also allows you to groom in the shower and for up to 90 minutes if you're one of those people that love to take long showers. Now, I will tell you that these formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know your manhood is in good hands. Probably playing with your balls right now, so you might as well invest in the Crop Care Kit to make your balls elite. Yeah, get 20% off plus free shipping right now at manscaped.com. Use the code BATTLEGROUND. Once again, 20% off, free shipping.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
At Manscaped.com, all you got to do is use that code BATTLEGROUND at checkout. And if you care for those beautiful balls of yours, all you have to do is go to their site, hit a few buttons on your phone or your laptop, whatever. It'll change your life for the better. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Just use that code BATTLEGROUND. Add some swag to your saggy bag. Once again, 20% off, free shipping, manscaped.com. Use the code BATTLEGROUND.
And I feel as if, like, if somebody does call you underrated, I feel like that gives you a little chip on your shoulder and gives you more to get out there and show you, you know, I'm not underrated. Like, watch the tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think it's kind of the same thing. It's just maybe it's just like how you process it, because it kind of feels like it's like when people tell like a comedian, like, oh, I don't care like what everybody says, you're really funny. Or like, yeah, right. All my friends hate your stuff, but I think you're hilarious. And it's like, right. Oh, dang, like you could have just like said open-handed said last part.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that the backhanded compliment, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So you debuted in Evolve back in 2014. Your debut match was with Timothy Thatcher. How did you get involved with Evolve, and what was your experience like with working with that company?
Well, I knew Gabe Sapolsky, the booker, for a while, just from, you know, crossover with other places that I'd worked, and and people, you know, that we both knew. And so he was familiar with me, but I think he was not that confident in me yet, because I hadn't like taken a certain turn in my career where I really decided to focus on the kind of wrestling that suits me. And so when that moment came, I was already kind of on his radar. And, you know, my good friend and former tag team partner and training partner and all that, Drew Gulak, was working with Evolve at the time. And so he kind of made the connection. And I emailed Gabe Sapolsky and I was like, hey, you know, we know each other. We've had talks in the past. You kind of said, like, you'd like to use me if I changed a couple things. And, well, here I am. I've changed some things. Are we ready to do this? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And he gave me an opportunity, put me in the ring with Timothy Thatcher in my debut at Evolve, which is, you know, in hindsight, a pretty big move and a pretty bold move. And yeah, that was a match we had in the Brooklyn Lyceum in Brooklyn, which was like a broke down bathhouse. I loved that venue. And it's now a Blink Fitness, I learned this week. It's like a fancy gym now. It's like, dang, I used to like stand in there and get changed behind a curtain, like 1 foot from the back row, and just get like dripped on from a balcony and stuff. And now it's a fancy gym. And now Timothy Thatcher's on WWE TV. So, yeah. But yeah, that's how it started. And then I think Evolve at the time was kind of, it was the place similar to how ROH is now, where technical wrestlers were looking at it as their opportunity to shine. And so it was a place that all the guys like me wanted to be. And luckily I made that connection and it worked out for a long time. And I liked my time at Evolve a lot. So.
I think you and Drew, you had the tag titles at one time too, right?
Yeah, Drew had the tag team titles, and then Fred Yehi and I also had the tag team titles in Evolve. And then we ended up facing off in Ring of Honor. So like I said, it's just that natural path.
Yeah, that's awesome. So last year you were ranked number 154 on the PWI 500 list. Mm-hmm. Do accolades like that mean much to you, or do you just, you know, try not to pay attention to them and just focus on your job?
I don't know. Some of them do, but I don't know. That one's really kooky. You know, the PWI 500 is like, that year I was like 100 something, but they listed me as like 5'7". and then like the next year they got my height right, but I was like number like 390 or something. And it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of random. But the accolades, I like, maybe not that one, but in general, they do really mean a lot, especially as somebody who loved wrestling for a really long time, you know, and every now and then you get a little numb to it. But when you sit down and think about it and just see the fact that even, you know, your name is being talked about in this like realm of like, you know, the top wrestlers or whatever, is just, that's kind of huge, you know. It's kind of insane. So it's like, right, it's almost hard for it to really sink in as much as it should, because it just like kind of becomes reality. And so I think it would be maybe helpful if all of us wrestlers would kind of take a second, sit back and let it sink in. Like, wow, like, you know, we're really doing this. This is
right.
Yeah. Even if it is PWI 500, like, it's, even though I think it's kooky, it's the PWI 500, you know,
right.
It's like, everybody knows what that is. It's like the freaking magazine on magazines racks everywhere. So
right.
It is a big deal. Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the ones you kind of gravitated to growing up, you know.
Like, yeah, right.
Oh, I gotta, you know, yeah.
Before the internet, that's where you figured out who won in, you know,
New Japan, All Japan, yeah, all that stuff.
That was where you found it. And then so that's kind of a thing though. So let's kind of move on to where you're at now. Ring of Honor, you joined the organization in 2018. With the current stuff that's going on pandemic wise, what has your experience been like with the pandemic, and what has kind of been the toughest part of being a pro wrestler during a worldwide pandemic?
I mean, I really feel super lucky as a pro wrestler in the position that I'm in right now, because I spent the bulk of my career on the indies. You know, even when you're signed to Evolve, it's like, it's still really the bulk of what you're doing is the indies, because you need to fill those dates, you need to get those paychecks, and you need to pay the bills. And that's how it is as an indie wrestler. And so really, I just feel super lucky with how well the company that I happen to be working for is taking care of everybody. And I really feel for all the independent wrestlers who aren't in that position, because they got hit so hard by it. So for me, I mean, like I said, I just feel lucky, but I think I see so much hardship for the independents, and I hope that they can thrive through this, you know, even though it seems to be taking forever to get back to an environment where they can do that, you know? And it's like everybody's chomping at the bit to get back to like that sort of consistent schedule, and the time isn't here yet. So I'm really just pulling for the indies for the most part.
Yeah, it's been tough kind of watching different organizations and their approaches, and some people are really smart about it and some others are not. So it's just, you know, it's
hard to do it right. It's really hard to do it right. It takes so much to do it anywhere close to, like, you know, completely right. And so I feel for them, even though, you know, no matter what, like I feel for them. And I think it's really like, it's not on them. It shouldn't be on them. It's like when you see and people criticize the way that people are handling these shows and stuff, it's like, it's a reflection of the environment that we're in, you know, like nobody's being given the tools to really go about all of this safely, you know, in any way. So it's like the way the indie shows are going are just a reflection of like what's happening in our country. As big as that sounds, it's like, I don't know. I think it's true.
Yeah, yeah. I agree 100%. As far as Ring of Honor goes, are there any, do you have any kind of like bucket list matches you're looking forward to? Like, I can't wait to face blah, blah, blah. Like, are there a couple people you're just like very excited to get in a program with?
Yeah, I've got to wrestle the Briscoes a couple times in tag matches, but like I'd really like to get the chance to have like a full on, like, you know, big time stretched out, like just hard ass tag match with those guys, because like they're just incredible. I mean, like I was saying, I hate to use the word underrated, but like, you know, those guys are one of the best tag teams there's ever been. Mm-hmm. Another one in Ring of Honor, thinking of like who's there currently. I mean, I just got to wrestle Jay Lethal. That match just aired last week, and that was a big one. You know, to have a singles match main event with a ROH like mainstay and kind of ROH legend like that was a big deal. So,
and the fact that you made him tap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to mention. Yeah,
and that tap came quick. I saw the clip, and I was like, it was like in. I was like, whoa, that was very quick. He applied that with some quickness.
Yeah, I've been trying to rip heads off in that pure tournament. Like, as I watch it back, I'm watching it back, and I'm like, oh man, I was really, really trying to take people's heads off with the face lock in that one.
Yeah,
man, and it's crazy, and kind of. We talked about this earlier, but so your debut was in the Survival of the Fittest tournament, where you are eliminated, ironically, by the person you're going up against, Jonathan Gresham. So you two are slated to collide in the finals of the Pure Championship, which ROH has brought back after 14 years. So how does that loss in your debut motivate you, and what are you looking forward to with this match?
I mean, this is the chance to correct it all, you know, to set the path right and to true my path here in Ring of Honor. Like you said, that was my first step in this company, was a loss to Jonathan Gresham. And it felt like a lot of the steps from that point on were similar, almost kind of stumbles, you know, trying to find my footing. And now finally, I think as everybody has seen over the course of this Pure tournament, I've found my footing. I'm on the path now. It's been three submission victories in a row. The last one against Jay Lethal, tapped him out in the middle of the ring. I mean, I've found the path now. And so to have the opportunity, the almost like poetic opportunity, to take the first match I had in this company and correct it and right that wrong, I'm not going to miss out on that shot. So yeah, it would mean the world to do that.
I think a lot of people were pegging this as, you know, we're definitely seeing Lethal and Gresham in the final. I think it was just kind of the conclusion. So I think you tapping out Lethal definitely through the wild card in there.
That was the big motivator, like you were saying, about how like when people call you underrated, it like gives you that chip on the shoulder, you know. It's like the fact, seeing so many people assume that, you know, and like write all these brackets, like, oh, the finals are obviously going to be, looking at the blocks, Lethal and Gresham. Lethal didn't even mention my name in, you know, his post-fight promo leading up to our fight. It's like, you know, it's a promo, you're supposed to promote our fight, you're not even gonna mention my name, you know. That was fire under my ass right there. So yeah, for sure, a lot of people were expecting that in the finals, and you know, it felt really great to like bust everybody's brackets and have that moment of like, no, it's me and him now. So
it's kind of like our Tennessee Titans last year in the final, in the playoffs. We kept going and kept going, and we're like, we're ruining for everyone.
It's a good feeling when you're on that side of it.
And you know, you talk about it, and the good feeling, it's like Lethal just kind of overlooked you, didn't care, didn't think anything of you, and he knew that he was going to go against Gresham, and then
literally in the middle of the ring. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. But, you know, he's a professional. You know, he showed respect during the match, after the match. You know, I think he just overlooked me. He made a mistake. You know, he got cocky.
That strikes me as someone who didn't, you know, review tape and, you know, kind of maybe the accolades were coming in too soon and he was coasting on his name or something and learned the hard way.
No hard feelings. You know, one of the best professional wrestlers around today. Somebody else, I think a lot of people throw that underrated name at for a good reason, because he's that good.
He's that absolutely good. You may not be able to mention much about this if it's kind of some behind the scenes stuff, but could you give us an update on Lifeblood and like where, you know, or is there still plan to kind of bring you guys in full force after the pandemic, or it's definitely a kind of a weird, you know, limbo time right now.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's another one of those sort of, I don't know, lucky timing moments where like it feels like Ring of Honor as a whole has kind of hit like a reset button. And a lot of things that were on the table that were maybe half built have been sort of pushed aside, and they've built some new things that I feel are growing even larger than those things from the past. And so I think now the goal is to focus on what's working and sort of treat this whole Pure tournament as a reset for everybody involved. Like I just said before, it's no hard feelings towards anybody involved in that. There's no grudge there. You know, it's like a lot of the time in wrestling when you see groups have sort of changes or anything, they come in these big blow-ups and like people start fighting and everything, but this is just like a natural moment of like a reassessment, I think, of what's working. And right now what the focus is for me and for Ring of Honor also is the Pure tournament. And so that means the focus for me is the Pure title. And then, you know, when I win that Pure title, then the focus becomes holding on to it. Then the focus becomes building up that, for lack of a better word, new foundation of Ring of Honor. And building on that, as this is the place where the greatest wrestling in the world happens. And to be able to really, truly say that without question, you know, not just as a slogan, not just as a catchphrase to put on the end of a tweet, but a place where we can truly say that. So that is the focus now. As far as what's in the future for Lifeblood, I think we're all going to have to find out, or maybe not find out. You know, maybe this is just like new season, you know, right. Reboot. Yeah.
Now, I will tell you this, and Eli can vouch for this, that people that have came on this show have gone on to win the gold, with the exception of two guys that we won't say because they get mad at it, that went on and lost the tag team titles in New Japan, but that doesn't count. Everybody else has been on this show has gone on to win the gold. So you're
in the last live wrestling that we attended was Ring of Honor in Nashville. So that was February. And it was the night Nick Aldis came out, and I think it was the day before PCO dropped the belt. He was still the champ, and then the next night he fought Rush and dropped it. So so not only are we ready for live wrestling again, we're ready for Ring of Honor live wrestling again. So
Here's the time where you get to plug whatever you want. I know you got a new t-shirt out. So where can people keep up with you online? Where can people get that new t-shirt? As you see, I'm repping the Ring of Honor, so I got to get me a Tracy Williams shirt soon. So
yeah, if you head to ROHwrestling.com/shop, should be right there at the top. It's brand new. I'm pretty psyched on it. You know, I was able to get the design done myself, which is something I really appreciate. Another thing, like working for a company like this, a lot of the big wrestling companies don't let you do that. You know, they want creative control over everything. They want to have
evident by that too.
Right. They want to have their hand in every single thing. And it was very easy to get the permission to do that and to get the freedom to do that, the creative freedom to do that. So I'm really psyched on the shirt. I think it's really cool. I like it. I had the design done by a really talented designer. Their Instagram account for the designer is Shay Hardacre, S-H-E-A Hardacre on Instagram. They're really dope. Check out that shirt. I think it's really cool. That's like the main thing I have to plug right now. And of course, like you said, watch me win the Pure title, because that's what we're putting into the world, right? That's the energy we're putting into the world. It's John Gresham and I going at it for the Pure championship. I'm glad to have you guys in my corner. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on your show. And
thanks for taking the time, man. It's got to be exciting. You got Halloween coming up, and then you're winning the Pure title. And
it's a shame, man. In New York, Halloween is like the thing, man. Like you get to see so many things normally, and now it's like, what are we all going to do?
I know.
Sit around in our houses in wacky outfits.
But you know, you can have the Halloween hangover right after you sit there. You can hang out in your Halloween costume with that beautiful ROH Pro title.
Right, exactly. Yeah, maybe I'll go as Doug Williams or something for Halloween.
That's awesome.
That is the best. Well, Jason, we appreciate you taking the time out, and we are looking forward to it. Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, it is the Pure Tournament Finals. Going to see Tracy versus Gresham, and we're not going to have a repeat of Tracy's debut. We're going to have a change of court, and it's going to be that hand raise, and Tracy's going to have some gold to hang back there behind him on one of those shelves.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the positive energy. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Battleground Podcast. Make sure you give it 5 stars and a nice review. To stay up to date with the show, follow them at Battleground Podcast on Instagram.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.